Welcome to Community Lutheran Church's podcast, Bridges of Belief, being God's presence in a hurting world by accepting all people as we are created. Together, we'll create a stronger community and a church renewed. For this Bridges of Belief podcast, we're talking with Pastor Earl Jansen, who has been a leader in our church, dedicated in guiding us with wisdom, compassion, a deep commitment to inclusivity, and some wit. I'm your host, Lee Trueheart. Before we begin with some of these questions, I wanted to say that some of them will probably sound familiar to the last podcast with Pastor Karras, but I think it's important for some of the answers to be seen by both the pastors of the church and how the cohesiveness and the uniqueness of the views and the perspectives are. Pastor Earl, would you mind sharing a little of your journey to becoming a pastor and what brought you here to Community Lutheran Church and how long you've been with us?
Sure. I first experienced a call to the ministry when I was the clinical director of a substance abuse facility in Iowa. It was pretty much out of the blue. I was told Lori that I had something to tell her when we got home, and then made sure she sat down because it surely disrupted everything that was going on in our lives at the time. Entered the seminary at Wartburg in Waverly, Iowa. In Dubuque, Iowa, sorry. And graduated there in 1990. My first call was to Fairmont, West Virginia, was there 6 years. Then in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, where I was for 8 years. And then finally in Severna Park, Maryland, where I was pastor for 18 years continuously. After retirement, I moved to Delaware. Lori had thought about moving to Delaware in retirement and getting close to the beach. And so we did that. And when I looked around the congregations, I was looking for something that was going to be not only affirming of people, but also one that could feed us. And there were a number of options. We visited a number of congregations in the area, and Pastor Karras was just coming on board at that time. And we thought, hey, we could do this, and we can spend some time affirming a pastor.
That's cool. So how long you been with them? About a couple of years, 2-3 years? So it was right before Pastor Karras?
Yeah, we formally joined right around Easter time, that would be 2 years ago.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Cool.
What, in your perspective, what makes Community Lutheran Church unique?
Well, a couple of things. One is certainly Pastor Karras's energy. She is attempting to create change rapidly. I tried creating change slowly, and that was as much a disaster as it could be. There were too many people that were intent on keeping things the same.
Okay.
We really appreciate the affirming nature and the place where all sorts of different folks can feel welcome. I've been an advocate for LGBTQ stuff since the early 80s, and it was nice to find a place where I could continue to do that kind of affirming and lift up folks who've not been lifted up most of their lives.
What does it mean for a church to be open and affirming? And I can I'm sure a lot of our listeners can say why it's important today, but in your point of view, why is it so important today more than ever?
I think how we judge people, how we treat people who have experiences different than our own, is a good reflection of whether or not we're living the life that Jesus invites us into. It is real easy to be friends and have relationships with people who are just like us. It is another thing to be friends and affirming with folks who come at life a little bit differently, and have different struggles. And to be invited into those lives is a real honor.
That's great. And believe it or not, your focus in ministry is equipping the saints. And what is equipping the saints? And what are some biblical examples of this in action?
The language comes out of Ephesians 4, the first half of that chapter. And in it, the church is described as equipping the saints for ministry. And it has struck me all through the years that pastors get to do a lot of good, exciting things, and we have tended to protect our vocation, if you will, from others in the church by claiming special kinds of authority. So when I visit folks in the hospital or nursing homes, I often come out of there feeling a great sense of purpose. Whenever I'm conducting worship, I feel a good sense of purpose. And yet, those are all things that Christians have done since the beginning, and it hasn't just simply been left to the clergy. And so equipping the saints is really providing that kind of training and permission giving for people to enter into the spiritual side of their lives in ordinary life and being able to provide care for other people. For me, that has meant everything from teaching parents how to teach the faith to their children, to on Ash Wednesday, having folks in the congregation impose ashes on one another rather than the pastor doing it all the time. And to providing those opportunities and that training so that people can get out of that fear that they have, to be able to be agents of Christ in their worlds.
Well, how do we measure whether we are truly equipping the saints within the church?
I think it gets to be a matter of some natural kind of things, like who prays at gatherings? Is it the pastor or is it everybody else? Who leads teaching opportunities? Is it the pastor or is it everyone else? Who visits and shares faith in the midst of hardships and difficulties? Is it only the pastor or is it other folks too? Who is able to interpret the world through a lens of faith? Is it only the pastor or is it everyone else? And I think that's how we measure it.
That's interesting. How can churches balance that teaching and the discipline and the practical training for that?
Over the years, I've become less and less inclined to do the typical kind of Bible study because it becomes all about what I know as opposed to what I'm doing. So when I introduced the seven faith practices to Pastor Karras, it was about engaging the world and the people around us in those kind of particular tasks: prayer, inviting, giving, study, serving, encouraging, and worship are those seven faith practices. Those are, by their nature, active. And we tend to discover that most folks in congregations believe that worship and study are the only things that they need to be involved about, when really there's so much more.
So, what are some of the daily habits that help the believers and the people within the church stay equipped for this, for whatever their calling is?
One of our presiding bishops described one of his faith practices as remembering and recalling his baptism whenever he washed his face in the mornings. Just that act of washing one's face and then declaring one to be a child of God who is called to be Christ in the world, in their world around them, gets the day started off all right.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting, very practical. It's almost like the admiral who says, "Get up and make your bed," and it's
Exactly.
so just in a different manner. How would you describe the atmosphere for the Community Lutheran Church? What's the vibe like for you?
Worship is much more casual than I'm accustomed to. I'm accustomed to the formal liturgy, and yet, just recently, I was in a large, almost cathedral-type Lutheran church where the liturgy fell flat. It was distant, it was remote, it didn't resonate. The vibe at community is that we are indeed a community of people gathered together here for this purpose. We are worshiping God and encouraging one another in ways that our communities don't always do for us. It feels safe.
Is that what brings, you think that why we're growing and that's what brings people to the church? Or is there something else as well?
I think that feeling safe is a big part of that, but I also think that people are looking for ways that their faith can make a difference, and the kind of outreach that is an emphasis at Community Lutheran Church makes that visible. Everything from the obvious, which is the food pantry, to engaging with one another, participating in pride events in the area, English as a second language, just that kind of outreach focus, that it's not about us, but about what we can do together.
That's nice. I like the way you say to that. How can someone engage with our church if they're not really ready to make the big commitment of being a member?
So first of all, there's the online worship. That's a piece. Another piece is that you can volunteer at the food pantry and the other kind of activities without being a member. And membership, from my perspective, is kind of loose. There's not a formal kind of process. I will often get messages from Pastor Karras, include these people in our mailings. And later that she might say, oh, these people are now members, and there's no real notice of all of that happening. I think one actually becomes a member unofficially before they become official members. If you are participating in the life of the congregation in some kind of way, you have an investment in that community, even before maybe anybody formally recognizes that.
I can attest to that one, yes. Are there small acts of services or connection points you'd recommend for some of the newcomers?
Pastor Karras is very open to what people bring to the congregation and their interests. So, for instance, you're doing a podcast. You had some interest in doing something like that. There are a group of people who are master gardeners who are interested in showcasing, if you will, some of their talents, but also helping beautify the grounds. There are other folks that are on the edges of the congregation at this point, that just in their normal day-to-day kind of things make a world of difference. I know of one person who has been transporting clothing and some other tangible kind of things to a homeless encampment. That's not a formal kind of thing that anybody's doing, but that's part of, but that person is part of the congregation, and is living out their faith in those kind of ways.
It makes a difference in those people's lives too. So yeah,
Absolutely.
so ministries come in different ways. So what do you hope that listeners take away from our conversation?
That there is a place for folks at Community Lutheran Church that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with all the expectations that church or Christianity seems to have in the larger culture. These are a group of people who experience faith in some real tangible ways and are interested in coming together with some other progressive believers to be able to make a difference in the world around them. We're not necessarily going to send big things far away, but we're going to make a difference in the people that we encounter.
And I was gonna ask, but it's interesting, and you said that, interest in the podcast. I was only wanting to know really if they had thought about doing a podcast, not so much as I wanted to be doing the podcast. But apparently, when you suggest something, you have to be ready to do it. So, yeah, that made, you know, so it I shouldn't say that for the listeners. They're probably going to go, oh my God. But with that thought, why do you think like this podcast is an important way to connect with people beyond the church walls?
You never know what is going to resonate for somebody. And how those get out there, how people stumble upon some kind of thing. I'm not one to necessarily go looking for a religious focused podcast, but if I've heard about Community Lutheran Church, maybe I'm interested in finding out a little bit more from a more informal kind of source.
Who's all involved in the church, and and who are they? And rather than when they come to church, walk up to you and say, "Tell me how you got here." So you're like, "I am. Give me a little minute." We've discussed a lot today on the basis of your faith and the ministries and who we are as community church. Before I close this session out, is there any words of wisdom or encouragement you would like to impart?
I think it's a matter of giving it a shot. When I was looking for congregations, there was one congregation in the area that closed their worship service with, "Go in peace, serve the Lord, God bless America." And that was very reflective of a very conservative bent. It really left a bad taste in my mouth, in that Christian nationalism is not really Christianity. And I'm interested in being a follower of Jesus, which means doing the things he did and teaching the things he taught, living in that kind of way. To be a follower of Jesus is often to put self aside and be able to see and experience kind of a bigger picture and a better picture of how I fit into the world. It's not about who our enemies are, but it's about inclusion and welcoming and learning something about my faith from hearing your faith story. And I think that's the kind of thing that you get the opportunity to do at Community Lutheran.
That's great. I like the way you stated that. Thank you. So, for those who are listening, I invite you to come to visit us and join an event. We have a lot of different ones going on, or share the podcast with others to worship with us at Lutheran Community Lutheran Church. It's probably not great that sometimes I'm dyslexic when I'm doing this. We're at the 3897 Omar Road in Frankfurt. You can join us online at https://bridgebuilder.church. And whether it's in person or online for the 8:45 or 10:30 service with a small group or just a cup of coffee, there's a spot for you here. Next episode, we'll be talking with those that run our food pantry ministry. And we'll talk with you soon. And thanks for joining us. Thank you, Pastor Earl, for being here.
Thank you.